Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nida, daf Chav Gimel. Begin three lines down at the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we had mentioned that in the halach of our Mishnah regarding Mapelas, if a woman miscarries something, if that's considered a dam nida, or if it's considered the tumah of yoledes. So we had a case that was a machlekes in the Mishnah regarding how Mapelas came in behema. If a woman miscarries, something looks like the form of an animal. Rameir says she's mitami as yoledes, but giving birth to a child. Rabbanan disagree. They say no, it has to have the tzuris of adam. So the Gemara explained, according to the first interpretation, what's the reasoning for Rameir? Because he has a gezeirah shava. It says yitzira by behema, and it says yitzira by adam. Just like by adam, there's a tumah of yoledes of giving birth to a child, so too by behema. Which, as Rashi explained, the Rabbanan do not agree to that gezeirah shava. Now the Gemara asked, but if you have the gezeirah shava, then you should learn out bria, which also means formation, creation, that it says by tanin, by the large fish, should also be learned that from Adam that it's going to have tumas leda, yet our Mishnah says everyone agrees by fish it's not going to be. To which the Gemara explained, because there's certain laws and criterion of gzeirah shava, and that is, everyone's going to agree that when you have something that has two things that are superfluous, both words and both contexts, which are what a gzeirah shava is, are superfluous, that is better than that which has one, and by tanin only the one by Adam is extra, but the one tanin not, in contrast to the one of behema. Now, that was, and in that context, the Gemara had quoted the first interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul regarding what are the laws and what's the machlekes that we have regarding if both are not superfluous, if one is superfluous, both are superfluous. On that now, the Gemara brings a Rav Acha Brei de Rava Masni La Mishmei de Rabbi Lazar Lekula, more lenient that then the version of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul regarding what's the criterion and what's the machlekes in the halachas of Mufna regards to Gezeirah Shava. He says it doesn't have to be that superfluous, and he is more lenient in the version of what's the criterion in the halachas of Gezeirah Shava. He says as follows, Kol Gezeirah Shava Sheinu Mufna Kol Iker, if the Gezeirah Shava has that none of the words are extra, which according to the first version says you can't learn Gezeirah Shava, he says no, Lameidin Umeshivin. You could learn the Gezeirah Shava, but you could refute it. If you have a question on that, say, hey, that's not comparable, then that would shoot down the Gezeirah Shava. Mufn mitzad echad, if one of the two contexts are superfluous, so you have a machalikas. Le bishmal, le maiden ve'im eshivin. According to bishmal, you learn the Gezeirah Shava, and you can't refute it. Since one of the two words are superfluous, you're ready to learn that. Le rabbanan, le maiden eshivin. According to rabbanan, you could learn, but you could refute it. Mufn mishneid stad, and if it's superfluous on both sides, everyone's going to agree that you learn like Gezeirah Shava and you can't refute it. Says the Gemara, then according to this version, which the first version had the question according to Bishmal, this version now, the way we just quoted the question is going to be inherent according to Rabban. According to Rabbanan, since we're saying that if it's Mufn mitzad echad, you learn out, yet you can refute it. And we said that if it's not superfluous at all, we said according to everyone, you could learn and refute it. So, according to Rabban, what's the difference if there's none of the words superfluous or one of the words is superfluous? It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be lemaid and lemeshivin. So what's the difference? Why did the Torah say over here no extra words and here one extra words? Again, similar to the answer the Gemara had given in the first version, Kantra Bishmal, here it's the same thing in regards to the Rabban. When you have two options to learn out the Gezeirah Shava, from one that has no words extra and from one that has one word extra, that V'lav l'hai yis l'pircha, V'lav l'hai yis l'pircha, and they're both the same in the sense none of them have a refutation, because if either one would have a refutation, even when you have one superfluous, you wouldn't be able to learn that according to this version of the Rabban. But both of them don't have a flaw. That's the difference. That if you have those both options, then you'll learn out the one that has at least one superfluous and the other one that doesn't. Right, in general, in their own context, there's no difference. But when you're comparing the two and you have to choose one of the two, you'll pick the one that's mufn mitzadech. That concludes that different version from what we said before. Now the Gemara asks, v'hach, over here in the Gezeirah Shava that we're learning, as we explained for Rameir in our Mishnah, which we're learning out behema from Adam, which we said that's why it had to be, as we said in the top of the summit, by behema, both superfluous. Yitzira and Yitzira by Adam and behema have to both be superfluous, because if you had only one, like you have by the case of Tanin, you would have the pircha. It says, my pircha, what is the question? You could be meshiv. You're saying that's why we prefer learning out chaya from Adam, because there it's mufn mishneid stad, in both contexts are superfluous, and therefore that doesn't allow us to refute. And you can't learn now bria from Tanin because, that would only be mufn mitzad echad, and then you can refute. So think about what would be the refutation. What's the problem with learning out Tanin from Adam, and therefore it's not going to be learned out? So the Gemara from the Ikel Mifra, because you could refute. Mal Adam Shekim Metame Mechayim. How could you compare and learn out the Allah of Tumas Yeledes from Adam? Adam contracts Tumah even when he's still alive, whether from a sheret or from some other source of Tumah. So therefore, yeah, by a person, it makes sense that if someone gives birth to a person, there's going to be a Tumah of Leda. In contrast to Tanin or to Behema, we wouldn't say that that would be comparable. So therefore, by fish, we're going to ask it, because there it's only Mufin Mitzad Echad, superfluous on one side. Oh, the Megdim the Meshivim. And you have a refutation. But Behema, even though, yes, that's still a question, how can there be Behema from Adam? But you're not going to ask it, because since it's Mufin Mishnei Sudden, it's open on both sides. The Torah tells you don't ask the questions, and therefore, that's why Remeir says, who learns out the Gezer Shavah, Vitzir Yitzirah, that you can have Tumas Yeledes by giving birth to a form that looks like a Behema. Now, says the Gemara V'chein, and so too, this is going back on what started this whole discussion in the explanation of Remeir's halacha in our Mishnah, like Rabbi Huda Mishmuel had said, that so too, Amr Rebchia bar Abba Amr Bechanan says, Hayne Tam Remeir, the reason of Remeir is, Hayel V'nemer by Yetzir Kadam, since it says the terminology of formation by Behem Echai V'Aif, like it says by a person, so therefore we'll learn that Gzera Shava, just like over this, Tumas Yeledes, so too, if someone gives birth to someone who looks like a Behem Echai V'Aif, we'll have Tumas Yeledes. Now, however, Amr Rebami, Bami says, based on this interpretation, if that's the case, Mapelas d'mustahar. If a woman gives birth, a miscarries, something that has the formation of a har, of a mountain, the woman should have tumas leida. Why? Because Shemitz is the pasuk in Amos. It says kihine yitzer harim, because Hashem formed mountains ubayiruch, and He created wind. So you see, it says terminology of yitzir by harim, you should also have tumas leida. On that, Amalei said to him, harim mikom apelis. What do you think? A woman miscarries a mountain? You think the stillborn is going to be as big as a mountain? Even he to come apelis. Even if it's a clump, and even in the shape of a mountain, it's just a stone. It's a piece of flesh that's in the form of a rock. Ha'ugush ikri, that's called a clump. That's not a mountain. And by a clump, it doesn't say anywhere the terminology. If it's here, and therefore it's not going to have a tema of yiletz. But the Gemara continues asking, but if that's the case, my pelas ruach, the woman miscarries something that's ear. The woman should have tumas leida. Why? Because hayel v'nemer by bria ka'adam. It says the terminology of creation, like by the person. So you should have a gezeirah shava of bria bria. Because the chesed says the pasuk in where we just quoted, it says uvayri ruach, and he created wind. Now v'chita, maybe we can say, yeah, but like mufna, it's not superfluous. You needed to say that Hashem created wind, so it's not extra. No. It is extra. The pasuk already said the terminology of creation. It says he forms mountains. It should have just said viruch and wind. And it adds on the extra word, and he created wind. Obviously, it's extra. So you should learn gzeirah shava and say if a woman miscarries wind, she have tumas leida. So that Amalei says to him, yeah, but done in divrei Torah and divrei Torah. Gzeirah shava, you can learn out one biblical source from another biblical source. They done in divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah. You can't learn out a biblical source from a tradition source, meaning in the sense of divrei Nevi'im, which is what Amos is from. You can't learn like gzeirah shava, and therefore that's not a question. You can't learn out tumas leida by the winds, even though it says the terminology of bria, because gzeirah shava only works in the chamisha chumshei Torah, in the words of the Torah. So this was all from one interpretation, the halacha of the pinyan of Remeir in our Mishnah, that holds that there's tumas leida by behema. Now the Gemara continues on that theme and says, Amar Rabba Babachan Amar Bichna. He gives a different interpretation. It says, Hayin Tamid Remeir, what's the reason that Remeir disagrees with the Chacham and says it's going to be Tumas Leida, even if a woman miscarries something that looks like an animal? Is because Hoyel Ve'inayim, since the eyes of the wild animals and the behemoths, the domesticated animals, are Doimis Kishal Adam, since they're similar to the eyes of a human being, that is, the pupil of the eye is round like the eye of a human being. So therefore, it's going to have the same tumas leida. In contrast, by fish, we said even Remeir agrees because there is not round like a human being. So if that's the case, if a woman miscarries a creature in the form of a snake, the woman, the mother, should be have tumas of birth, since the eyeball of the snake is like the eyeball of a human being. And if you're going to say, yes, you're right, the same thing would apply, well then, listening nachash, why do you only say he should have mentioned snake? So Zigmar, no, really it does include snake. But Itani Nachash, had Remeir included the snake, in his opinion, when he's quoting the Mishnah, Havimina, then that would have said that Benachash would pliga Rabban led Remeir. The Rabban that disagreed with Remeir, we would have said that they're only disagreeing on the halacha of a snake. To like Siv Beyitzir, because by snake it doesn't say the terminology of formation. So although we're really saying the reason is the roundness of the eyeball, but we wouldn't know that. We would think that, oh, the Rabban disagreed because Remeir is going based on the terminology of Tzira. And by snake it doesn't say that. Avol behema b'chaya le'pligi, but maybe they wouldn't disagree by the behema chaya. We would think they're not disagreeing on that. They're only disagreeing on the snake. Because why would they agree by Behemah Mechaya? Because there, as we said in the first interpretation, we thought were Meir's opinion, according to some, it says Yitzir, maybe the Rabban would agree. Therefore, we didn't say snake, because we didn't want us to think that the Rabban only disagree in the case of snake, and they would agree by Behemah Mechaya, where it says Yitzir. No, they disagree with all of them. Therefore, we didn't mention snake. But you're right, according to this interpretation, Meir's halacha would apply of Tumas Leita even to a snake. But the Gemara now asks on the primary element of this interpretation. How could you say that the eye of an animal is similar to that eye of a human being, and therefore it's similar to a human being, Tavtumas Leido, but Vagabi Mumin? But regarding the blemishes of a Bechor, of a firstborn animal, Katani, we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Bechor, of a Memor Alf, that says, Eshagalgal Einai Ogal Kishal Adam. If the eyeball of the eye of the animal is round like that of a human being, that's a blemish. And therefore, that makes it that it can't be as a carbon. So the fact that it considers a blemish, obviously, that it's telling us because generally the eye of an animal is not like that of a human being. How could you say that the reason why there's Tumas Leida here because the eye of the animal is like the eye of a human being? So it's more like Hash, it's not difficult. Ha bu ukamta. This halacha that we're quoting here in our sugya of Rabbi Bachana is talking about the dark part of the eye, the pupil. That's round by an animal like a human being. And therefore, again, it's similar to a human being to have Tumas Leida. Ha, the brisa that's telling us that it's considered a blemish is Bitsiria, is the socket, the place of where the eyeball is in. That's not generally round by the animal like by the human being. And if it is round, then it's considered a blemish. And the reason why is because the pit, the socket of the eyeball is called a galgal, as we find later on the next daf. He says that I was in the socket of a dead person up until my nostril. And the reason why it's called galgal is because it's round like a wheel. But therefore it's not a contradiction. Yes, what is the eyeball like an animal like the human being? The pupil. But the socket is not supposed to be, and if it is, that's considered a blemish. That was the second interpretation. Third interpretation, Rabbi Yanayama, he says, the high time of Rameh, the reason why Rameh considers it for Tumas Yeledis, is since their eyes go in front of the creature, by Behem and Chaya, in front of them like a human being, therefore it's like a human being to be considered a Tumah of Yeledis. In contrast to fish, where their eyes are on the side, so to a snake, therefore that's not comparable to a human being to be considered Tumas Yeledis. It says the Gemara, but a bird, the eyes don't go in front, and still Remeir includes that with Behem Achayim V'Oif, that there is Tumav Yeledis. So Mabaye says, no, Bekirya V'Kipufa. This Remeir said that birds are also included Tumas Yeledis, specifically these types of birds which shriek at nighttime and their faces are similar to a cat and their eyes are in the front. Those types of birds is where he said that it's going to have Tumas Yeledis, because yeah, that has the same element of the eyes being in the front. Says the Gemara, Ubisharei Pesloi, what? But other birds or maids didn't hold that it's going to have Tumas Yeledis? But Meisav, the Gemara asks from the following braisa. Chaninim and the Tignes Aim, he says as follows. Nirin Divri Meir, Bebehim Abachai, says it appears to me to be correct, the Pesach Halacha, that is like Remeir regarding behemoths and chayas, that it will have Tumas Yeledis if a woman miscarries someone looks like an animal. And the words of the sages, that it's not Tumas Yeledis when it looks like a bird. So although they all disagree, you have Remeir saying behemoth chayah ba'if is tummy, Chacham saying they're both not tummy, they're all three not tummy. He says behemoth chayah like Remeir, ba'if is like the sages. Says the Gemara, my ba'ifus. What does it mean when he says birds? If he means to say that of like these types of like owls or these types of creatures that shriek at nighttime, then what's the difference that he's saying that by wild animals and domesticated animals? Because their eyes go in front, therefore he says it's like Remeir that it will have Tumas Yeledis within Karvi Kipufanami. What do you mean? Then those birds also have the same element. He should also say within Nalkta Chacham that it should appear to him that Halacha should be like Remeir. Rather, it's obvious. What is he saying is like the Chachamim, not like Remeir, is by other birds. Then it's not going to have Tumas Yeledis. Well, Machlad Remeir, Paul B'Sharifus. Well, the inference is that obviously Remeir disagrees, and if he's not saying like him, even by other birds too, that there is Tumas Yeledis, which refutes this interpretation, which is saying it's only because the eye is in the front, and other birds don't have it in the front. Says Gemara, no, it's not difficult. Chasur Mechstri Bachakitani. That word's missing from this Bryce, and this is the way he's supposed to read it. Rabchanina Ben Etik Nesayme says, like we said, Nirin Dib Remeir Bebehem Mevachayim. It appears to him, Psak is like Remeir, that if a woman miscarries a Behemah Chaya, then she has Tumas Yeledis. And you're right, the same thing would apply to those types of birds where their eyes go in front. So although the Rabban disagree, that he would say that they're also disagreeing with Tumas Yeledis. Now, and the words of the sages appear even to Remeir, Bishar Oifas, that he agrees by other birds, like we said, Ramey would agree with there, that it's not going to have Tumas Yeledes, and it's not that he disagrees. It's that the opinion of the Chacham would even be in other birds like Remeir would agree to that. Because Remeir only disagrees that there is going to be Tumas Yeledes by those two types of birds, because, like we said, because the eyes are in the front. But by other birds, he actually agrees to. And that's where you have to read it. But he doesn't disagree with that case where he was saying that he also agrees to the Chacham in that case. And says Zigmar Vatanya Sot will learn no Braisa. Because Amr Blazber Tzadik, he says as follows. He says, I'm a pelis min behemah v'chayev. A woman miscarries something that looks like an animal or wild animal. So, l'divrei Meir Vlad, according to a Meir, it is considered like a child for Tumas Yeledes. L'divrei Chacham Ein Vlad, according to sage, it's not considered like a child. U'ba'ifes, and regarding miscarrying something that looks like a bird, tibadik, it has to be inspected. Says the Gemara, Laman Tibadik, for who are we saying has to be inspected? Lav l'divrei Meir, isn't it obviously going according to a Meir? Because the Amr Kari V'kifufa in. He says, yes, when does this have Tumas Yeledes? What type of a bird? That which looks like an owl or something like that. Sha'ifes lay, but other birds not. So you see that he does make this differentiation, like this last interpretation we're giving, because only those birds have the eyes in the front. And therefore you have to check what type of a bird is it. And then Omar Avacha, Berei Daviki, says, Loi, no, Tibadik L'Rabbanan. The checking the bird is according to the opinion of the Rabban. Therefore, there's no raya from this price. Because the Amri Kiri V'Kifufa in, because they say, actually, when it's like those types of birds, they agree it's going to have Tumas Yeledes. Sha'arif is Loi, well, the bird's not. And therefore, it's not a raya to the interpretation we were giving. Well, that has to Gemara. Then what's the difference for these two types of birds than behemoth and chayas? You're saying, Kodrabbana, that these types of birds are going to be considered a child for Tumas Yeledes more than other birds. If you're saying the reason is because the eyes are in the front, but chayas and behemoth, their eyes are also in the front. And that we know Rabban still disagree, and they say it's not considered Tumas Yeledes by any of those behemoth chayas. It says the Gemara, yes, actually they're better than behemoth and chayas. Why? Since they have cheeks upright, like a human being, therefore it's actually more like a human being than behemah b'chayah, which don't have those types of cheeks to have the same type of face as a human being, and therefore actually behemah b'chayah is not going to have Tumas Yeledes, but we could say that the kiryu v'kifufa, the tibadik la'if, is actually like Rabban, and therefore wouldn't be a rai like the interpretation we were giving to explain the previous brisa, although it's possible, but it's not a rai like we said, because it could be tibadik la'if is going contra Rabban. And the Gemara continues on this theme of this machlekes in our Mishnah. Baymanei Reb Yirmiyah mi Reb Zera, l'Remeir, according to Remeir that we were quoting, the Ama Behema B'mei Isha, that he says that even though it's an animal, but it's in the womb of a woman, Vlad Ma'alyu, who he considers it a bona fide child, you'll have Tumas Yeledes. So keep up a via Kedushin Mahu. What if her father, who has the right to marry off his daughter, him, which is a little girl, if he accepts Kedushin from another person, he says, your wife is expecting, she has a child, I want to be engaged to her. And the father receives the Kedushin money. What's the halacha? Says Gemara, L'may nafkamina, what's the halachic relevancy? Le'itzura ba'achaisa, to become forbidden in her sister. Where, obviously, this is not a girl over here, this is something that looks like an animal, but if you're considering it a vlad, a child, so that means to say this man is engaged to one of the children of this man, and her sister, Achais Ishtai, is forbidden. So he would be forbidden to this sister. That would be the relevancy of this question. But one does the Gemara, Lememer the Chai, is that to say that this creature, this animal, is something that could survive? The whole halacha of the sister being forbidden is only as long as the wife, quote unquote, whatever this creature is alive. Because the Isra Achais Ishtai is only when the sister is alive. So how could you even have the relevancy of this question to know is he forbidden to the sister? But V'amr Yehuda Merav, he says, La'amr Remeir, as we're going to shortly explain this teaching, Remeir didn't say this halacha that if someone miscarries something that looks like an animal, that it's going to have a Tumah of Yeledes. You know why? Why does he say it's going to have a Tumah of Yeledes? Ela ha'ilu b'minay, since in its species, meaning in the bona fide animal, miskayim, that species survives. So therefore we say that it's considered like a bona fide creature to say that, okay, here, even though it's not going to survive, but because coming from a human being and it's not giving birth to a regular animal, but since its species would, so therefore it's considered like a bona fide birth. But you see it doesn't survive. So if it doesn't survive, so what's the relevancy of the sister anyway? Achai sister is only forbidden when, quote, this wife, or wherever this mass is alive. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov, he says, Ad kan hevi Reb Yirmiyah l'Reb Zera l'dekichuk. Reb Yirmiyah was trying to get Reb Zera to laugh, to smile. He was doing all these types of different approaches, and he was asking this type of question that really had no relevancy. He was just asking this type of a question, but he didn't laugh. And the reason that is because Rabbi Zeira was very stringent on the interpretation of the prohibition of a person filling his mouth with laughter. It says, Azim al-Ischik Pin, a person is not supposed to laugh so much now in these times. But you're right, the whole question is not, doesn't start because you don't have a chesish, it's not going to survive. But they're trying to ask him, oh, according to him, you know, it's considered a child, and he takes kedushin, would it be considered a chesish? But you're right, it doesn't have relevance. He just wanted him to laugh at the question I was asking. Now, in the discussion, we asked a question, and on that, the Gemara goes back to explain that teaching. Gufo, we said that Amr Yehuda Marav, he says, Lo Amr Meir, Meir didn't say this halacha of if a woman's mapelis, a behemachai ba'ayif, that's mitum of yuledis, elahoylo b'minim eskam, since that species survives, so it's considered a bona fide creature, and therefore it's considered a leda. So Amr Yehuda Midifti, he says, continue to bedez, he says that actually, afananam tenina, so too we learned in a Mishnah that you're right, that this thing that gets miscarried doesn't really survive. Which this, the beginning of this Mishnah is in Becheret of Memvav Menalf, which teaches, that says, Yesh Becher L'Nachla V'Ein Becher L'Kain. There's two types of laws that apply to a firstborn. One is regarding laws of inheritance. The Torah says that the firstborn gets a double portion. Additionally, the firstborn has to have what's called Pidnya Ben, has to be redeemed by the Kain, giving five slum to the Kain. So on that, the Mishnah says that there are certain times that he could be a Becher for both, for neither, for one, not the other, and one or not the other one. So the Mishnah was describing that you could have a Bechir for the laws of inheritance, that he'll get a double portion, but he won't be the firstborn in regards to the kind of redemption. And that the Mishnah describes, Hamapelis kimin behema chai v'oif. If a woman miscarries, her first, quote, child look like a behema, a chai, or an oif. So the child that comes after that miscarriage, the first child will be the firstborn for the laws of inheritance, because this first thing that got miscarried was not a firstborn for the laws of inheritance because he doesn't survive, but the second child, although he'll be a Bechir for Nachla, won't be a Bechir for the Kain because ultimately this first thing that got miscarried already was Paiter HaRechem. The laws of the firstborn of redemption is totally is dependent on the first thing to emit from the woman's womb, and this Behemah Chayvav was the first thing, so that already removes the law of Bechir for the Kain from the second child, but the second child will be the Bechir for Nachla. That's the Remeir. But Chachamim, they say, no, actually Yehei by Mitzuris Adam. It's not going to exempt the second child from even being a Bechir for the laws of Kain of Pinya Ben, only if this first thing had at least a form of a human being. This first thing didn't have the form of a human being, so actually the second child will be not only Bechir L'Nachla, according to Chacham, but also be a Bechir for the laws of Pinya Ben for the Kain. That's their Machlekes. Then the Mishnah continues. The Mapela sandal. If a woman miscarries a sandal, which is a deformed creature, where it's a child, but the face is not recognizable, because the sandal only happens when there's another child in the womb, and because of the pushing of the other embryo, squashes this child, as Igmar explains later on Daf Chafeim Abeis, which could be similar to someone who slaps his friend and makes his face go backwards. Now, what the Mishnah is describing is if this sandal comes out first, so he'll exempt his brother, the second one from coming out, from the laws of Pinya Ben. Because all these cases, even the Chacham agreed to, they have Tzuras Adam. It's just not going to have the laws for Nachla, but it will have the laws of for Kayin, which means to say the second one's not going to be considered the Pinyin HaBen. Oy, Shilyo, or if an afterbirth, because here also, the afterbirth means there was a child over here. You don't have an afterbirth without a child. Therefore, it exempts the one after him, which comes at a later point in time, from being considered the Bechir for the Kayin. Oy shvir, or if there is the actual embryo, which is the skin that holds the child, if it's merukim, if it's already somewhat developed, that the limbs are already recognizable somewhat, as the Gemara later on the parak is going to explain it, or vayitzim mechutach, if this first child comes out dismembered, cut up, so habachra, so the child that comes after all these types of cases, well, he'll be bechir l'nachla. The second child will be the first one for the laws of inheritance, because all these types that we just described, the sandal, shulya, and all these types, they don't have the laws of inheritance because they don't survive. But v'ein bechir l'kain, the second child won't be the first one for the kain, because ultimately even the chacham agree here there was something that was really paiter rechem that had suras adam. Again, it doesn't survive. It's not a viable child. So the second one will have bechir l'nachla, but not bechir l'kain. Concludes the Gemara, the proof, and if you would entertain to say that when a woman miscarries something that looks like a behemah chai ba'if, that creature could survive, then haba acharav, then the child who comes after that, b'char l'nachla mihava, would he even have the laws of inheritance for the first one as nachla? No, he wouldn't. Yet here we see that Remei was saying that Hamapelis kimin behim mechay ba'if, the second child, yeah, although he won't be Bechir l'kain, he will have Bechir l'nachla. But why? If the first thing would survive, obviously wouldn't even be b'chor l'nachla. So obviously that proves, like we said, that yeah, the even that Reb Meir agrees that this halacha that he wouldn't, this creature doesn't survive. So the Gemara Rabbi says, no, it's not a raya, because loyam d'chay, I could even tell you that this creature does survive. Vashani hasam, but there by the laws of inheritance is different. Why? Didn't we say that it depends if the child, if it survives, then the second one shouldn't get a double portion, shouldn't even be b'chor l'nachla? No, it's different because the Amakar, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Reishis Aina, in regards to the context of defining the firstborn, says the first of his vigor. Now the term Aina, Aina could also refer to like the Ainan, someone of mourning, which tells us Misha Libay Davalav, only a child that the father would mourn if he dies, that's considered the firstborn for the laws of inheritance. This excludes this first child that looks like a behemoth chayva oif, even if I would say, not like we were trying to prove that this creature, this child could survive, still it wouldn't preclude the second child from having the law of b'chor l'nachla. Yeah, there's a machlekes remain the chacham regarding the laws of pinya ben, but it wouldn't remove from the laws of b'chor l'nachla, because even if the first child could survive, but it wouldn't have the halach of reishis einai, and therefore that's why we're saying everyone agrees, and therefore it wouldn't be a right to this concept that we're saying that this creature doesn't survive as einai chayav. Now the Gemara similarly continues with this opinion of Reb Meir from our Mishnah. It says, like we said, if there's a form of like an animal in the uterus of a woman, we said it's considered a bona fide child. So he wants to know now, if there's a form of a human being in the womb of an animal, where they slaughtered and they found inside a child that appears to be a human being, what would that halacha be? Would we say that just like Reb Meir goes, when the animal is in the womb of a woman, we go based on the mother and consider it like a human child for the laws of Tumas Yeledes? Would we say the same thing regarding an animal when you find the form of a human inside the animal, that would be considered like an animal? Says the Gemara, my nafkamina, for what halachic relevancy is it? L'shtarui, b'chila, to be permitted for eating. Can't eat a human being, but you could eat an animal. Says the Gemara, but tivshli mahad Rabbi Yechanan answered the question. You can resolve from the teaching of Rabbi Yechanan, because the Amr Yechanan said a similar type of halacha. He said, "Hashechir as a behemah, if someone slaughters an animal, umatzah but the musyain, and inside he finds a form of a pigeon, a surah of a dove, a surah b'chil, it's forbidden to be eaten." You see that it has to be an animal inside an animal, and it can't be a dove or a human being. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a poop, because hachi hasha, can you compare the two cases? Hasam le prasasika b'le parasika. There, by a bird, it doesn't have split hooves, it doesn't have hooves. Whereas hacha, nehida prasas leka, here by human being, although there's no split hooves, means to say the human being doesn't have, quote, two heels like an animal, but prasa mia ika, but it does have a hoof, it has a foot, as the pasuk says, b'yikir alef, it says, kamafresas parasa b'behema techelu, which means to tell us that if you find inside the womb of an animal, even an animal that does not have split hooves, as long as it's not emerged into the world, even though it only has one parasa, you could eat it. And the truth is, even the contrary of Shimon, who says that when you have a kolot ben para, an animal that doesn't have a split hoof, that's the son of a cow that does have a split hoof, he agrees that if you slaughter the mother and you find in the womb that creature, it would be permitted. As the Gemara explains, the only holds when it comes out, it's not. And therefore, it's not a raya. Maybe, yes, a yayna that's found inside, it's not similar at all. That would be prohibited. But maybe a human being that is the form of a human being inside the womb of an animal, maybe there he would hold that would be similar enough to an animal, just like he says by an animal and a human being. And therefore, that was his question, would that be permitted to be eaten or not? Now, the Gemara continues on this machlekes we were talking about with Reb Meir and the Chachamim. As we learned in the Mishnah, Chacham Aymrim, they say, Kol She'im Bay B'chulu. They disagree with Reb Meir. They say, no, even if it's a min behem machayev oiv, it's not going to have tumas leida until it has from the form of a human being, unless it doesn't have that, it's not going to be considered a child. Now, Amr Rav Yimer Bar Abba, Amr Rav, he qualifies, and he says as follows. He says, actually, Hakol Moedim, everyone agrees in the halach of our Mishnah, meaning all the opinions, and if Gufay Tiyash, if this woman gives birth to a creature that the body is like a goat, upon of Adam, but the face like a human being, everyone agrees that Adam, it can be considered a human being to have tumas yeledes, because we go primarily based on the figure of the face. So therefore the reverse is also true. Gufay Adam upon of Tiyash, if its body is like a human being, but its face is like a he-goat, then v'leklum, not going to be considered significant, according to everyone, to be considered a vlad for childbirth. Loi Nechlikui says they didn't disagree, Elish upon of Adam, the face is like a human being, however, has one eye like that of an animal. One of its eyes is similar to an animal. Remeir said that it has to have from the form of a human being. Meaning, as long as it has from the form of a human being, it's considered a child, even if all of its form is not like the form of a human being. So therefore he says, when Yamapelis came in behemoth chai ba'oiv, no, the face looks like a human being. But part of it, one eye is like an animal, that's okay. As long as it has some of the form like a human being, it'll be considered a flat. They say, no, you need to have kol tzuras adam, all of its form and the face has to be like a human being. And therefore, here where it has one eye or something like that, not like a human being, it's not going to be considered a flat for tumas yeledes. However, Amru loy l'Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba, they says, but v'ipcha tani, we learn the braisa exactly the opposite of what you just described in the machlekes, at least in the wording of the machlekes, Remeir and the Chacham. The braisa said, Remeir oimer kol tzuras, so he's using the same words as what the first interpretation had said for the Chacham, although it actually doesn't mean the same thing. When it says kol tzuras by Remeir, what this braisa means to say is any form, kol kamin kol shehu, like just whatever it is, kol kamin everything or something. Anything that has from the form of a human being in this fetus is going to be considered a child, even if the whole face is besides that is like a goat. As long as one eye or one cheek or something like that is like a human being, similar to a human being, it's going to have the halacha as a vlad. They say, no, mitzuras, from the form, which means say, no, at least it has to have some of the form recognizable, like half of its face, like a human being, only then will be considered. But so the wording is the exact opposite, where the words that he said for Remeir is the Chacham, and the Chacham is Remeir, although again, it means different interpretations. The Chacham are the more stringent interpretation, but one thing we see is not like what he said. Amlo, he said to them, look, itanya tanya. If you have a braisa, then you have a braisa. He says, I heard my version from Rav. What I heard, and that's what I'm saying. But you, since you have a braisa, like you're quoting, so then you go after that braisa. Now, Amr B'yemir Ba'ab, Amr B'yechin, it says, Metzach, the forehead, v'hagvinim, and the eyebrows, v'inayim, and the eyes, v'alasasas, and the cheeks, v'gabes hazakin, and the upper part of the beard, which is on the chin, achiyu kulam ke'echad, all of them have to be as one. Which is Rashi explains, he's going like the Rabbanan, as we're going to shortly explain, that Rabbi Yirmiya, who we're quoting now from, is like the Rabbanan, according to the version that Rav explained the Machlekes Rabbanan and Remeir. Because although we just brought a braisa not like the version of Rav, but what Rav is what's called Tanahu Palag, he on some levels like a Tana, he could disagree with a braisa, and ultimately he did not retract from what he said was an interpretation of the Rabbanan, that he holds Rabbanan have to have cults or resadim, all the form, even if one eye is like an animal, is not going to be good, it has to have all the form, kulam ke'echad, all these things that are relative to the formation of the face have to be like a human being. Rava Amar Chasa, Rava said in the name of Chasa, that no, metzach, the forehead, vagaban, and here he's going to say all in the singular. Hagaban, the eyebrow, ba'ayin, the eye, valesis, the cheek, vagabas, hazakin, in the upper part of the beard, which is the chin. Achyukum ka'achas, until they're all as one. So he's only saying basically like one out of the two eyes and so on have to be like a human being. But the Gemara says, well, pligi, they're actually not disagreeing, these emiram, because they're coming to qualify different Tanoic opinions. Ha, this that Rabbi Yirmi had explained was Kamanda Amar Kulturas, was like the version that Rav had, who's Itanuhu Palag, that he said that you have to have all the form, all the limbs on the face have to be like a human being. So what was he coming to tell us? He was coming to say that even according to Rabbanan, all of it includes all those things we mentioned, but he didn't mention the ears because that's not significant. You don't need to have the ears like a human being. Whereas Ha, this version of Chasa that Rav said from him, was also like Rabbanan, but Kamand Amma Mitzuris, like the version of the Tana of the Braisa, who said, no, all you need is to have from the form of a human being. And that's where he's coming to tell us, that on one side of the face, you need to have to be a complete Tzur like an Adam, but that only includes all the things we mentioned, but that does not require the ears. That's what the Gemara explains. However, Mesebe, the Gemara asks from the following Braisa on the version of Rava that said in the name of Chasa. The Braisa says, Tzuris Panim Sha'amr, this that we said has to have the form of the face of a human being to be considered a Vlad, a full of parts of Echad Minam Bartzufan. Even if it's one element of all the elements on the face, meaning to say, as one limb, for example, if it has one eye or one part of the forehead or one cheek that's similar to a person, is going to be considered a Vlad, Chutz Min Ha'Ezen, except for the ears. That if the ears are like a human being, but the rest of the face is like an animal, that's not going to be considered the face of a human being. But one thing we see is that obviously according to the opinion that holds Meitzuras, that you don't need to have all of the form. You just need to have some of the form. Lememra de Mechad Namisagi. That seems to say that, no, even one element, one eye, one out of all the things is enough. That's difficult according to Rav, the name and same name of Chasa, that says, no, you need to have at least one side of the face, but all those limbs. Here you see only one limb you need to have. So Abaye says, no, it's not difficult. Ki Tanya hi, when did we learn that Braisa? Was La'akev Tanya, was coming to say that what's Ma'akev. In other words, the form of the face that the Chacham were saying that's being Ma'akev, what they're saying is that even one limb in the animal is going to be Ma'akev, which means say that actually it all has to be human, except for the ear, where that's not going to be Ma'akev. Now additionally, Ukamanda Omar, this was going according to the version of the explanation of the Rabbanon that held Kol Tzuras, that has to have all of the figure like the human being. And that's not difficult, like we said in Rav Amachasa, because he was going like the pin that holds that Meitzuras. But even like the Mandaba Kol Tzuras is not a difficulty, because we're explaining it's like the Rabbanon and saying, yeah, you need to have everything except for the ears. Now, as Rashi points out, although the Gemara could have explained that it's not difficult because it's going like Remeir, who holds that Kol Tzuras means Kol Shu, even just one thing is enough, yeah, one eye. But the Gemara preferred to explain it like the Rabbanon, which is saying that, no, you need to have everything except for the ears, which are not going to be Ma'akev. That's one interpretation. Avi Baisim, if you want, you could say that actually, La'ilim Kamanda Amma Mitzuras. That actually, no, it's even like the opinion that officially Rava Amar Chasa was explaining, which like the one who holds from the Tzuras. You don't need to have all of it. Yet Rava Amar Chasa explained in that Manda Amma, you have to have at least one half of the face. Yet here we see it doesn't have to have one half of the face, it only has to have one out of all the things, one eye, or that would be enough. Says the Gemara, no, my echad, what does it mean, one? It means echad, echad, each one. I mean, from all the primary limbs on the face, you have to have one out of the two being similar to a person. Which exactly like Chassa said, who said in the singular, one eye, one cheek, but that's like the Mount of Mitzuris, that you have at least to have one out of the two, meaning half the face, but not just one out of all the limbs on the face. Now, another teaching from Amar Rava on this theme, on this halacha, never be'ayin achas or be'yerech echad. If this child was born with one eye or one thigh, if it's min hatzad, if it's on the side, meaning his eye's on the side and his thigh is on the side, meaning like a regular person where the eye is on the side of the face and the thigh is on the side, so then his mother's going to be tummy, it's going to be considered a tummas leda. But b'emtzeh, if the eye's in the middle of the face, if the thigh's in the middle of the body, then imatayra, then that's not considered a bona fide child, the mother's going to be tar, it's not going to be considered a tummav leda. Another teaching, Amar Rava, he says, Vishtei Nakov, if the esophagus is perforated, if there's a hole in the esophagus, Se'imer Tumeya, the mother's going to be tummy, because he holds that even though it's a trefa, it's a mortal defect, but the child could survive, and if it's considered a bona fide child, to have tumas leida. But Vishtei Otem, but if the esophagus is clogged up, which, as Mefarshim explained, is like, then it's almost like non-existent, then Imer Tar, then the mother's Tar, is not considered a bona fide child. If the woman miscarries a body that's closed up, which means to say that's not a fully developed body, then the mother's not going to have a tumas leida. It's not considered a bona fide child. Says the Gemara, and what's considered a closed up body, meaning not fully developed? So Rabbi Ami says, if that limb would be taken out of a living creature, then it would die, and it's born without that, that's considered a gufatim, not to have tumas leida. And that's the Gemara, and how much has to be taken from a living person to make him die, that we're saying that if he's born like this, it's going to be considered not a child. So Reb Zakkai, he says, as a continued type of Chavdal Medav, he says, Adar Kuva, says, if the leg is cut up until above the knee, which that would make it into a trefa, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, he holds trefa, it doesn't survive. So if it doesn't survive, it's not going to be considered a child. Second opinion, Reb Yanim, he says, no, Adle Nekavav, up until and including the orifice, the area of the urinary tract, which he holds because a trefa does survive. So therefore, if it's cut up until above the knee, it's still going to be considered a child. But if it's missing even the place of where it urinates from, that's going to make it into a nevela, as the Gemara is going to explain, like Rabbi Elazar, who he says that if it's missing the thigh and the cavity of where it connects into the animal, then even when it's alive, it's going to be mitame, and therefore it can't survive. The Gemara Masechtas Chulin Daf Chafal Manav explains what is the case considered when we're saying that the cavity is missing, is if it would be laying down, you would see that it's missing, that's considered that it's missing. Rabbi Yechon, he says even further, The third interpretation, he says, no, it has to be ad makom tiburi, up until the area of the navel of the stomach. But if it's missing up until including the nekavim, then that wouldn't be considered, that it wouldn't be considered a child, because he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar. And if the fact that it's a trefa, he holds the trefa survives. So the Gemara explains, as we mentioned, Ben Rabbi Zakeh, Rabbi Yanei, Kebenayu, trefa chaya. The first two interpretations, the difference between them is, do we say that a trefa, something with a moral defect, could it live, could it live on? Marsav a trefa chaya, the second interpretation held that it could survive, and if it's not enough up until above the knee. Or Marsav a trefa nechaya, the first interpretation held that it doesn't survive, therefore it's enough up until above the knee to make it into a trefa which doesn't live, and therefore that would already make it not into a leda. Second one held, no, trefa is not enough because it could live, it has to be up until the kavav. The second two interpretations, the difference between them is the halacha of Rabbi Elazar, because both of them hold that a trefa does survive. So what's the machlekes? The Amr of Rabbi Elazar said, "Nitel yerch b'chol shalo nevela." He says that if the thigh is missing with the cavity that it goes into, that makes it into nevela. So the second interpretation held, so that makes it like Rabbi Elazar, makes it into nevela. So therefore, that's going to make it already not into a leda. The third interpretation didn't hold in that halacha, and therefore he said that up until then, it has to be missing up until tibur, up until the navel area. Now, Amra Papa, he says a qualification of what we're saying. He says, Machlekes Malmata Lamala. All these three different interpretations, the whole Machlekes was, if we're going from bottom up. So that we said, one interpretation says that's missing up until above the knee. Other one says up until the Nukavim, the area where essentially the leg connects to the body, including the area of the Nukavim of the orifices. And the other one says, no, it has to be at Mokam Tibur. But he says, but from top down, if something's missing from the skull, a fil kaldu, then even if a small amount is missing, taira, the woman's not going to have the tumah of leida, because it's not going to be considered, quote, a child for tumas leida. And he says, if a woman miscarries something that's missing from the skull, the mother's going to be tar from tumas leida, because it's not going to be considered having given birth to a child.